preaching. And we're gonna continue some of this for a little while. I'm working my way through 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you'd like to study that chapter, 2 Timothy 4, that's a great chapter. It's the close of Paul's life and the continuation of the ministry with Timothy. So you can think about that as you read 2 Timothy 4, and you can see the challenges of the ministry there. You can see great challenges that a preacher faces, 2 Timothy 4, and as Christians too. No, we're not saying just preachers face these challenges. They do in a unique way, and you do in a unique way as you try to serve God. Today we're continuing the subject about preaching and go a little further with this. And in Romans chapter 16, we're going to read a verse in just one moment. Father, again, I ask you, I pray for some strength, physical strength and clarity of words, and most of all, the power of the Spirit of God to go forth with these messages. And I pray you'll bless your people. If anybody's here on the sound of our voice or wherever they are, they'll hear the good gospel of Jesus Christ if they're unsaved and be saved. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Romans number 16. Romans 16, one verse. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. And Paul loved the gospel of Jesus Christ so much, it's his gospel. It belongs to him and it belongs to you. Now to him that is of power, that's the word dunamis. That's the word dynamite. That's where we get the word dynamite. It has power to blow you loose from your sins and to save your soul. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and here's our word, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now it's made manifest, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, is what Paul said. And I claim that verse for myself too. And the word you want to look at is preaching. That's proclamation. That's lifting up your voice. That's a God-called man that God calls to stand up with the Word of God and preach to people. And that's our duty as pastors. But there's another word that preaching does under the power of God. And that word starts with an S. Now to him that is of power to what? Establish you. Preaching establishes people. It establishes believers and saves lost souls by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the whole counsel of God. The Word of God tells me to preach the whole counsel. That's from the beginning to the end. And that old preacher said, I even believe the cover because it says Holy Bible. Amen. Preaching will establish you. Do you ever wonder what the word, it didn't say establish, it says establish. Them old timers had words that they said. My daddy did, and I picked up on them. He would say something like, you mighty come a-skipping. Anybody ever heard that? I mean, that's one of his favorite words, you mighty come a-skipping. And he said, down in Mexico, they got a word. It's called utasi, down in South Mexico. In northern part of Mexico, in the big cities, it becomes a bad word. And I'm not going to say what it is. But down in the where I go to in Mexico, utasi means, is that, how'd you like that banana pudding? Utasi, that's real good stuff. You might have come a skipping. And the old timers had words like that. I won't go with a lot of them, just to say that they would say establish sometimes instead of establish or establish. It means to set fast, steadily, steadfastly. I've dug a million fence posts in my life with post hole drivers. We had a poor we lived. We raised two things. We raised kids and cane. three things: kids, cane, and rocks. There's a lot of rocks up there on Lookout Mountain where I live, and we've knocked, I've got something Ben knows. We call it the man killer. It's a steel rod this big around and about this long. And we would hit rocks, and guess who would be on their knees pounding to get a hole through the rocks and get a post for the fence established. Get it in there where it's not going to move. And I guarantee it ain't going to move. Me and Ben's put them in, and me and the rest of the boys have too, and they're still there this day. Get established to turn resolutely in a certain direction, like a surveyor using those survey instruments like that right there on a tripod, and they turn it around, and it may be facing the wrong way, and they turn it around to get it in the right direction and established in the right direction. Preaching, my friends, will set you in the right place and hold you in the right place. And if you're pointing in the right wrong direction, getting established, it'll turn you to get in the right direction that you should be going. And it will confirm you, and it will strengthen you. See, that fence post is no good at all if you put 5 or 6 strands of barbed wire on it and start pulling it from that corner. If it's not established, that post is coming right out of the ground. And you've been pulled at from all directions in your life as a believer. And I want you to understand, if you'll hook into preaching and listen to preaching and listen to the Word of God, it'll get you founded, headed in the right direction, and nothing will turn you from the way that you should go. Blessed be God. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, he said, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. He said, listen, here's what will happen. God will establish your heart. More and more people I've talked to, they say, I'm depressed all the time. Charles Spurgeon was depressed. Read his book, The Heartbeat of the Holy. He spent most of his life under depression, what he called depression. But I'm going to tell you what, if you open this book and you stay in this book, and if you're depressed, it'll go. It'll come and go. But I want you to understand, if you hook in to say, I'm going to dwell in the Word of God and accept the preaching of the Word of God and spend time with God, you will work through your depression. And it'll come again. And then you'll come again. And then you'll come again. And then you'll turn. My friends, I know what I'm talking about. I know I experience it every day of the week. I'm not preaching anything that I don't believe or experience. I'm not doing that. Preaching will establish you in Romans 16:25. And I'll tell you something else. It's foolishness to lost people. 1 Corinthians 1:18. It's foolishness to the people that are unsaved. I remember a friend of mine I've tried to get saved for since I was 15 years old. And buddy, I'm old now. I'll be 70 in October. So all those years, 55 years, I've tried to get him saved. And he come by here one time. I think he was looking for me. And I was in here praying. And it's been a long time ago. And then he says, why does people go in the church house and holler or talk loud or whatever? I was agonizing with God. They don't understand praying. And they don't understand preaching. They don't understand. They don't understand. Preaching is the power of God to salvation. My friends, if you get saved, if you're not saved, and if you are saved, you got saved by one thing, and that's by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached to you. That's how you got saved. You had to have heard the gospel preached. It's God's method to save souls. It should not be complicated. Paul said, I'm not come with good speech, you know, with like eloquence. And how many preachers do you know that are eloquent? I mean, looking at one that's not. Somebody came to a preacher one time and they took notes when he was preaching. And after he got finished, they came to him and said, "You slaughtered the King's English 50 times. And he said, "I did it for the glory of God." Amen. Should not be complicated. It's evidence in the demonstration. It's evidence in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. The power of God the power of God is present when the gospel, when the word of God is preached. The power of God is present. Unlike anywhere else. Everybody's doing everything but preaching nowadays. We done read it in 2 Timothy 4. They're wanting their ears tickled. They don't want to be upset. They don't want their apple cart turned over. They don't want their fur ruffled. They want soothing, like sweet music. Well, a lot of us preachers, including me, is out of tune. Forget the music. Now, you know what's happening. You know the reason we're in the shape we're in today? I'm going to tell you, I got it. I know. There's good preaching, there's bad preaching. Right? I mean, there's some preachers, you know, I'm not saying like, you know, some people do a lot better job than me. I'm doing the best I can, but I know I'm preaching truth. And what's wrong is preachers have backed up a little bit. I mean, we cannot vary. They have backed up. They've loosened up. And that's the reason, the primary reason. It always starts with the pulpit for revival or for no revival or for dead or alive. Now, let me go a little further. The Word of God says in 1 Peter, you don't have to turn now, you know this scripture, just stay with me. 1 Peter 1:18. "For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you." And we're in the last times. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. It's not good enough to just listen to preaching. You got to obey the preaching. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now, not just getting saved, that purified you forever, eternally, with God, but you stay purified, you stay pure by exposing yourself to the preaching of the Word of God and not going home and having roasted preacher for dinner. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Unfeigned is false love, a cheap love. One of another, a cheap love. In other words, he says, you've not got this hypocritical love, but you got unfeigned, real love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, here it is, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Seed. I want to tell you something. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, pure preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the English Bible, the King James Bible, and what other Bible any other land has. I want you to understand what's happening. It's sowing the seed. It's throwing seed out. It's throwing the seed of truth out. And the problem, one of the great problems today, I know I'm a preacher. I know about how preaching's being done and should be done. And I want you to understand there's a different seed being sown. That's why you see men that are doing things they shouldn't do out here in the world that call themselves Christians. That's why you see women out here doing things in the world they shouldn't do. Gary Munson may preach for us sometime. He's the guy that sits up here with his friend, Brother Freeman. And they in the February meeting, they both direct singing the whole time. You ever notice that, Derek? Good man. Gary Munson and I preached at the preacher's meeting Saturday. Was a week ago. Ron Plott called me and said, I saw that you preached at the preacher's meeting. I said, Gary preached, I called. And I sure was glad that I was first. And you know, I shot the bull and told a few jokes today and let Gary preach. And Gary preached. He preached a message. He said, listen, I get these reports that people, they don't call it going to the beach anymore. They call it going to the coast. And he said, I get these pictures back from people supposed to be good Christians. There's pictures. They'll take pictures with them. Here's what he said. You know what I'm saying? He said, would you answer your door if the doorbell rang? We don't have a doorbell. We got it. Would you go to the door in your underwear and answer the door? Would you do that? Why? Oh, that's a bathing suit. That's not underwear. You'd be better off to wear your underwear as a bathing suit. I don't think you'd be well off. We went on the creek fishing and swimming. Wills Creek, we grew up there, me and the boys, me and my buddies. And we dressed any way we wanted to. But there wasn't no girls there. Sometimes we used our birthday suit. Sometimes we jumped in with our blue jeans on. Walked home, let them dry out in the sun. Now they go down there and they're, you know, I don't have to say nothing else other than if you listen to the preaching of God and you get it right with God, and my friends, it'll purify you inside and out. Your family is your own family. You do what you want to. If you get out in public walking around as a nudie, shame on you. You know, through the years, I've been here a long time, nearly 40 years. You know what? I've got pictures back. I mean, I don't get, look, I don't even know how. It's down there. I don't even know how to use my phone other than make a phone call. But there'll be people come by and they'll say, look at this. And they've done this. Our church members, I'm talking about not recently, years ago, look at that. I said, I don't want to see it. I don't even want to know about it. It'll purify you inside and out. I got to move on. Move on. Say, move on, preacher. Move on, boy. I had an uncle. One of my favorite uncles was Uncle Spud. Uncle Spud. I didn't know Spud meant potato. P-O-T-O-T-O-E. Oh, what's that vice president got in trouble about that he couldn't spell potato? Put an E on it. Has it got an E on it? I don't know. I know why the E don't know what they are. It ain't got an E on it. Just... No. Okay, thank you, Lisa. She's a school teacher. I put O-E-S, not potato with an E, it's plural. You got to have an S on an E. Uncle Spud, thank you for that. Thank you for that English lesson. Uncle Spud, when Daddy died, he come. Him and my daddy was best of friends. He wasn't saved. He didn't cuss every other breath. He cussed all the time. And he cussed with getting in a word that wasn't a cuss word every once in a while. But a great man, sergeant in the Army in World War II, carried a machine gun. You know, when they'd get hungry, they'd walk through a town in Germany and they'd just rob a meat market and get them some steaks and hams and go out in the woods and cook them. All's fair in love and war. When Daddy died, he came to me and he was concerning Mama's benefits with the VA because Daddy had been in the Army and concerning, you know, the paperwork and all. And he said, you go down there to whatever office I was going to, I don't know. He said, you go down there, Roger. Now they're going to ask you if you've got a spouse. He said, you tell them you do not have a spouse because that means wife. Spouse. Well, I got one now. I got me a spouse. I done told you it took me 23 years to find the perfect one, and she's perfect about everything. And she's always right. Right. I'm be gone for a week, but you'll get over that being ill at me by Saturday and we'll make up. He had something else. He had a box with jars in it. You know what it was? Seed. It had seeds in it that he gave me that I could plant and have a garden. And after Daddy died, I met Kathy. We had a garden down at Mama's. You remember that? I remember you drove the tractor, and I had a scratcher and a turning plow. And y'all don't know. Y'all think a scratcher is a chicken leg at your foot that you scratch your back with. But it's a scratcher you cultivate with it. And she'd drive and I'd plow. We got up to Leesburg. We didn't have no tractor at that time. At that time, we didn't have a tractor. And I got up there with a plow. And I tied it to me like a mule. And Kathy plowed me. She's still plowing me. My neighbor felt so sorry. They brought their tiller and said, look, you don't borrow our tiller here. The neighbor plowed it up with his tractor. And then tiller, somebody gave. And we had a garden. We was determined to have a garden. So Uncle Spud gave me those seeds. Now, I got to run. I want y'all to just listen. I want you to listen right here real close. Real close. Okay. You can look at this later. Joel chapter 1, verse number 15 through 17. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. Do you believe that? And that'll take you all day to find Joel, so just listen to me. I had it marked for me where I can just... I'm not that fast. Alas for the day, Joel chapter 1. For the day of the Lord is at hand. Do you believe that? You know what at hand means? It means in hand's reach. The day of the Lord's right there. As a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? They're trying to do away with cows. They're going to get you where you think it's wrong, sinful, and bad health to eat a cow. But I'll tell you what, me and McDonald's and Burger King and every steakhouse in the United States are going to fight against that. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and the gladness from the house of our God. And joy and gladness? Look, the meat's cut off. You know what? I was down there preaching at Grace Baptist Church, and a fella showed up here from here at this church. He come and visited here down at Grace, and his church was here. He said, I come because I need to get fed. I said, you idiot. Brother Brown is 100,000 times better preacher than me. You're coming down here and tell me you get fed. I said, you're not right with God. That's what your problem is. Fed. You know, I exaggerated that story a little bit, but he did say that. Is not the meat. Don't you know when one shows up and this and goes on? Don't you know that preachers, pastors talk together? Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from where? The house of our God. You know, when they backslid on God and they got away from God, joy and gladness was gone. The meat was gone. And you know what? That's why they lost. That's why they got out of line. The meat was gone. And I'm spiritualizing some of that. When real preaching stops happening, joy and gladness is gone in a Christian life. And what they do is try to reproduce by another message something else than quality word of God to have a show of gladness and joy. It's not real. That's what's happening today. That's what's happening. They're in church. They shout it out. And tomorrow morning, they'll be cussing one another out. Be listening to rock music. Be telling dirty jokes. I got men in this church that have to work with people that say they go to church. And they work with people. And they say, oh, we go to church. And they cuss like sailors and tell dirty jokes. Right out of church the next day. Why? No preaching. No preaching. Preachers used to preach on sin, didn't they? That's what it's got to be, friends. It's got to be. Preachers have got to preach on sin. Now listen, verse 17. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down for the corn is withered. Listen, We just read where it says that the being born again, not of corruptible seed. But there's some rotten seed out there, friends. It'll rot. I mean, it'll look good for a while, but your life will rot with it. And your testimony and everything else, when you decide that you're going to, you know, why these people decide that they got to get them a preacher that'll make them feel good. Bad seed. You see that? The seeds, I want you to dwell on that. The seeds rotten under their clods. They're planting something. They get the ground ready. They put a seed in the ground, and it's a rotten seed when they put it in the ground. The seed's rotten. The seed's rotten. Haggai chapter number 2, verse 19. Listen to this. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, is the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree hath not brought forth from this day, will I bless you. Now, I'm not getting into the prophetical part of that, but all I want you to think about is the seed in the barn, the good seed. The good seed's in the barn. And they're planting rotten seed. What's going to happen? No real Christian fruit is going to be raised. And it's going to, your life's not going to be what it should be. And there's a lot of symbolism and a lot of application I could use there, but I'm going to move on. I got to move on. Please, dear Lord, these people are going to get up and walk out if I can't get this message over with. Don't do it. Lock a door, Clifton. You got a gun on you? Nobody in, nobody out. You ever heard of perennial seed? You heard of that? It's a French word, the way we use it. And per, you know what a periscope is. P-E-R means through. And anus means year. And the idea, it'll keep on going through the years. It'll keep on going. You can plant a garden with that seed that's perennial. And you can save a few seeds and use it next year. And you can grow just as good a crop as you did before and before and from generation and from generation and from generation from generation. And if you keep yourself under preaching of the good word of God, of the seed, of, get the seed, the seed that will not perish, the word of God, and you'll get your children, and you'll get your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, and on, it'll produce the same fruit that it did with you. You say, I don't know what's wrong with this generation. I'll tell you what, they've been fed some bad seed. That's exactly right. It ain't their fault. You ask everyone, oh, we're saved. There's something wrong when you see a girl walk by half-dressed and she's got scriptures wrote on her shirt. I was at the Waffle House there Friday morning in Calhoun. And an old man came in and two girls with him. They were grandkids, I suppose. That's they called him Grandpa, and they sat down across from me. Neither one, but they didn't get dressed before they come outside, went on into the public, and they prayed. Oh, yeah, they need to pray. Help. Why? Bad seed. Rotten seed. Rotten seed, perennial. It means lasting or continuing for years. It means continuing without cessation or interruption, unceasing, never failing, reoccurring fresh from time to time to time because it's good seed. We planted hickory cane. My daddy did. That's not sweet corn. Hickory cane, we planted a lot of that. Every year, same product, same harvest, same kind of corn. Why? Let's see. Here's another thing. What about annual, lasting only 1 year? Or one growing season, valid for 1 year, right? Annual. What about genetically modified? You know what genetics means? Genesis, genomaya, is the Greek word. Genesis is beginning. When there wasn't nothing and then there was something. And genomaya means actually to be being genomaya, being born again. It's the same word. In other words, before you were born again, you wasn't born again, but now you are. And why are you? Because of good seed. Praise God. I don't know if y'all are asleep or bored or what. I'm not going to tell another joke. Joke's on you, friends. Genetics, it means pertaining to the genesis of anything and modes of development. That's what genetics means. Genetics, in its bare word, just the word genetics means the beginning. Coming into being. It's the word Genesis. Before the world was here, there wasn't nothing here. But God, and He said, let there be light. You know what? One guy told me that believes in the day-age theory, that believes that the days are thousands of years. Like one day equals 1,000 years or 10,000 years to compensate for billions of years old. If the evolutionists say the earth is that old. You know what he said to me? I'm going to tell you, I thought he was a sort of a wise man, successful man, supposed to be a Christian. You know what he said to me, trying to convince me of the day-age theory? He said, don't you know how long it takes the light to get to from the sun to the earth? I want to say, you're older than me. You're supposed to be smarter than me. But God made the light before He made the sun. He made the light before He made the sun. Take that. Take that. I hope he's listening to this. Okay, so you got genetics, which means the beginning, the coming into being of something that wasn't there. And I'm going to tell you why. Before you got saved, there wasn't nothing there. There was nothing spiritual about you. Empty, nothing. The whole world was void, without form and void. God said, let there be light, and light come to you. If you receive Jesus Christ, now there's something there that had never been there or would never have been there if you hadn't heard and listened to the preaching of the Word of God and a good seed sowed into your life. Blessed be God. I heard it when I was 5 years old. I sat and listened to Norman Meadows preach. I sat on the front bench scared to death. He was preaching on hell. I could have got saved when I was five, but 9 years later, I got saved. God, give me another chance. I didn't even think about God until 9 years later when I heard a preacher preach again the truth of Jesus Christ. You know what genetic modification means? When you modify. Modify, I'm being elementary here because I am elementary. And you know what modify means? It means to alter or change. That's what modify means. So what is genetic modification? I don't know what they're doing in the world about babies being born and all that. Y'all know it's crazy, ain't it? It's scary what they're trying to do, produce babies without a man or a woman. And some idiot out in Texas that's running for office, I don't want to think about him, believes in six genders. He believe, I ain't going to get there. He's so stooped and scum, you check it out. Genetical modification. Well, the first year, if you've got a seed that's been genetically modified, the first year, you get the crop, the good fruit. But I'd be careful. I mean, you got to be careful with when you mess with the seed. I'll tell you that much. Yeah, but it's sweet corn. It's better and all that. It is. I mean, I love sweet corn. First year is somewhat, when you plant it again, the second year, the fruit is somewhat stunted. The second year or whatever. And as you from year to year, it's a progressiveness. You may make it The first year, get a good crop. The second year, it's not the same. The third year, it's not the same. The second year, and the fourth year, it's not the same as the third year, and so on and so forth. And what happens to the world? What happens to the United States? Because they've not been preaching the Word of God. Preachers have not been. It's our fault. Getting a bunch of hogwash from the pulpits. I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this. Whoever listens to this on the air, I'm going to tell you what, preachers. God help you. Beware if you're preaching another seed. And you're a coward to stand up. Stand up for America. You know what people say? Well, it's the way it is. It's going to happen. It's going to be bad. And there's nothing we can do about it. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be bad. And in a sense, there's nothing we can do about it. But there is something we can do about it where we live in the country we live in. If we'll just promote the right seeds, have the courage to stand up and do what we can do to see revival come and pray for the right men to be in Washington, D.C. and in Gadsden and in Etowah County, and in Alabama, and in the pulpit, most of all, tampering with God's Word. You know who did that? In Germany's where it all started. It started with the Dead Sea Scrolls. It started with the interpretation of the Masoretic text. I ain't got time to get into that. This Bible right here, this Bible, this New Testament was translated from the Textus Receptus, which was the Greek language at that time, and it was at its pure state of language, and it was interpreted, this Bible, from that text. And now there's thousands of texts. And what they've done is they've modified, took stuff out, put stuff in. He left out whole chapters and called it the Bible. It's not the Bible. It's a corrupt seed. It's a rotten seed. It's a rotten seed. The results? Tampering with God's Word? Results is shallow Christian living. Let me tell you what a shallow repentance will do. It'll put you straight in hell. A shallow repentance will result in a shallow conversion experience. And it's all because preacher don't preach repentance anymore. And Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all be damned. Repent means turn around. And we've told too many people, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe. You got to believe, but you got to turn from what you think is right to what God says is right. Then you can be saved. It's evidence in today's church. It's evidence in our homes. It's evidence in today's church and in a believer's life. Now, I'm going to say some things real quick and I'll be done. By the way, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. I want you to look at this. Isaiah 55, it's just about in the middle of the Bible, chapter 55. Bye. And while you're doing that, I'm going to wet my whistle. I'm very dry in my throat. Get your Bibles in Isaiah 55, the last verse we'll read. Okay. It's evidence in today's church, the bad seeds. Well, it started out with Arminianism and Calvinism some way or another, without getting into deep thought, which I can't do. But Arminianism teaches and taught, and there are Arminian churches today, and they're found in Baptist churches, evidence of that bad seed, where they teach that you can lose your salvation. That's bad seed. You couldn't go to hell if you tried, if you're saved. Arminianism is one side of the road which teaches you can lose your salvation. In other words, God saves you, but you got to keep yourself saved. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. It's like getting on a plane and saying, I'm going to get on a plane and it's going to get me in the air, and it's going to drop me out and I got to make it on my own without a parachute. That's stupid, ain't it? That's just as stupid as it is for somebody to say. They don't know their Bible. They twist it around. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Well, that's true. When a tree falls in the woods, can you hear, does it make a sound? That's stupid too. Tree falls, so shall it lie. They say, well, if you die drunk, you're going to hell. That's not right. You've died drunk and you're going to be ashamed when you stand before God. And then there's the extreme on the other side is Calvinism, which says only a certain group of people is going to be saved. Nobody else. Well, Jesus said there's just going to be a few, but he didn't say my blood's only sufficient for a certain few. He died for everybody. He paid the price. He paid the total bill for every human being that ever shall be, is, or will be born. He paid the price for everybody. Everybody can get saved. The price is paid, but they got to be willing to come. So that was back then, but what about now? What about now? I had something else I was going to read. I left it down there. I think I did. Do you know the large amount of Catholics and Jewish people voted for the liberals? Did you know that? That sort of scares me. Washington, D.C. is full of Catholics in office right now. That sort of bothers me. And why would the Jews? Why would they? Figure that one out. Now let's get it close to home. We'll close. Genetical modification of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, if any man come preaching any other gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, let him go be accursed. That means go straight to hell. I'm going to tell you what, if that happened right now, there'd be a lot of them in hell today. They're preaching other gospels. Now let's get it to the modern day. I'm going to call names. I'm going to tell you to identify. I'm going to tell you what to watch out for. I'm not going to expound on every one of them, but some of them. Jehovah Witnesses. This is modern day. The Seventh-day Adventists. The Mormons. The Pentecostalism. Mormonism. Church of Latter-day Saints. The Church of Christ. And many more. And all those that came out, the people that came out of the Reformation, the churches that are represented there today, many of them are preaching, sowing bad seed. Hey, when one of these religions says that they believe in Jesus, don't you believe that? When they say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, go a little further with it and see what they really believe and let them tell you that Lucifer and Jesus was brothers. That Jesus is just an angel. Muslim. Oh yeah, we believe in Jesus. He's a good prophet. But Muhammad, Allah was a bigger prophet than Muhammad. Okay. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Liberalism. This is getting into churches and it's getting into independent Baptist churches. Let me save liberalism. Modernism. Modernism is a result, is the state of churches and believers. Modernism. And it's because of preachers not preaching modernism. It says, they look at the other church, so they're doing this and growing, let's do that. So they do that. And not only that, they bring the world into the church. Instead of us going into the world, converting people, they'll do something that will attract the world to come in. Modernism, modern doctrine. And then liberalism. Modernism, the world and the church. Liberalism. You go from modernism to liberalism, and liberalism does what? Denies the supernatural. downward trend, right? Remember, generation after generation of bad seed produces worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And that's what's happening. It's here, I'm convinced. There's not one word I've said that I don't believe with all my heart. Denial of supernatural. I got books. I got a bunch of books. I don't have access at my study at home right now. I got it down. Got some down here. Kathy's rearranging the house. But I got books. And people that I study. I study history. That preachers have studied history so much, and some of them are liberals. That says, for the medical world, that this fella here that was throwing himself in the fire and throwing himself in the water, and they brought him to Jesus because he had a demon. They said he had epilepsy. All right, really? That's what liberalism is. That's what liberalism is. Look at this good word right here in Isaiah 55, verse 11. Oh, let's read verse 10. Let's read verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, right? Do you wish you could think like God? You might as well forget it. You'll never be able to think like Him. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. That's physically applied, good bread, good harvest, and it can be spiritually applied. As the word comes down from heaven, it puts it in the mouth of a preacher to preach the word of God. It'll feed you, it'll water you, it'll give everything you need to live for God. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I send it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. That's all I'm going to read right there. When God's word goes out, it's going to accomplish what God wanted to accomplish. There's somewhere today that God's preacher's preaching, and somebody's listening to it and taking it in, and they just might get saved today. They can get saved. Somewhere somebody's going to get saved today because they took it in. But there's somebody that's been rejecting God, and God gave them the word, and they harden their hearts. And God says, if you do that, my word's going to accomplish what I sent it to do. You'll be damned in hell for that. You have a choice. Let's stand. Thank you. Lord, help us. I pray, Lord, that your word, you've done said it would. I don't even have to pray this prayer. It's going to accomplish what you sent it to do. And Lord, may it fall on good ground. May it fall and melt the snow, not harden the soil. Let it be. Help us not to resist the word of God as the power of the Spirit of God works in our lives, to obey, listen, to heed, to be warned, to be fed, to be helped, to be saved. Save that soul that's nearest hell. Lord, save, help, heal, encourage, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you need to pray for anything, whatever. You bring it to God.